Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 327, and thanks again to Far Cry, the band, for that great intro music from their song Balance off the album of the same name. Great melodic hard rock band. I'm broadcasting with you live out of Bluegrass Night. This is Stephen Zimmer. Tonight I'm joined by the one, the only, the one behind hashtag Dark Style, Daniel Dark, and Holly Phillippe will be joining us in progress during tonight's show. So it'll be a surprise as to when she comes on, but she should be here a little bit later in the hour. But Daniel, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Getting ready for another outing next week, going up to Indiana.
Oh my God. Holly would love to hear that. Tell us what's happening. Where and what?
I'm going up to a cigar festival that they're having up there, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, basically. I'll be up there for that. And
what city?
Martinsville or Martin?
I don't think I've been there yet. You know, I was wondering if it's close to the area that Holly's from. Yeah, cause might be able to stir up a few people to come see you, which would be awesome if we can. But that sounds great. Three-day event. Are you taking the full production? Are you taking the trolley?
No, I'm not taking the trolley. It is so much money to drive this trolley any distance. And
oh, I imagine, yeah.
Right now, I'd be better taking a Learjet, I think. because the, you know, diesel fuel and, you know, 6 miles per gallon doesn't work real well together.
No. So you're going to be just doing your thing as far as like just a, is it like a convention or is it a conference?
It's a convention. It's a convention, nice. That it's a boutique cigar festival, and it's the second year of it. I went last year to it, and they'll have, you know, a lot of the makers and everything of boutique cigars from, you know, the islands and different things like that. There's different people that come that'll be there this year that I've never met. I've talked to them and everything like that, either online or on phone and stuff, but I've never actually met them. So
cool.
I'll have a chance of doing that. It's more of an elbow rubbing session.
Yeah.
For being in the, you know, cigar industry.
Well, it sounds like it might help you with products for your trolley. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
You might be able to work some deals.
That's the whole thing.
Nice.
And I just bought a you know, small travel door. It is it's the size of a carry-on luggage for you getting on an airplane.
Oh, nice.
just to put cigars in. It's a hard case with foam lining and everything in it.
Very cool.
And I'll be putting cigars in it, so.
Well, I will check with you on the distance, because hopefully we can send some people your way. Yeah, because Indiana is definitely a turf we know a few people in. That's cool.
Well,
so, yeah,
they it's a you have to pay to get into the event.
Right.
And everything.
Right. Yeah, I figured that.
But the thing about it, it's only like $20 for the day. Like if you just come up there for a day, it's only like
$20. Oh, that's not bad at all. It's a good price.
But it's Smoke on the Creek or the Boutique Cigar Festival. You would like the place that they have it at because it's a winery,
Hollywood like that.
It's a winery, distillery, and brewery.
Oh, winery, distillery, and brewery. Oh, well, they covered every base. Just where they.
and then we'll have a tent full of cigars out there. So.
Well, something for Holly, something for me, and you're covered. So, hey, that'd be a win-win-win. That's cool. We'll have to catch Holly up on that when she gets on here. I will want to give a shout out to Metal Beck Harrison and Dinah Vazorik, first two in the chat room tonight, and they're going to hear about some cool stuff here just shortly. But you're going to have to give us a full report on your weekend, because that does sound pretty awesome. what a great setting I know you always have adventures, so yeah,
live music fair playing on the Friday night. It's a big dinner, P members. So that one's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, I figured that wouldn't be $20.
No, the VIP members, they get a special bag and everything, and they have
big swag.
Cigars in it,
swag.
Different swag.
Yeah. Nice.
The dinner.
There you go.
And everything, and it's $200 a person for that.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah, I know all about costs and stuff. So yeah, they're. Yeah, definitely. That's understandable.
very expensive. The $200 is basically if you went out and bought the stuff that you're getting in the bag, you couldn't buy the stuff for $200.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like one of those Ipsy bags that Holly subscribes to. You get product that's worth far more than what you pay for every month. Yeah, it's one of those good deals. Yeah, I know about that. That's awesome. And Holly will have to give me 5 bonus points in her Ipsy bags that she subscribes to. Little makeup stuff. Yeah, she gets one a month from this outfit. And, they're always worth much more than the subscription price. So, yeah, I know how that works. But we'll go ahead. I tell you what, we'll go ahead and recognize those who are bringing you the show tonight. And tonight's show is brought to you by Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and also by the main man, Ren Garcia, who you just got to hear from last week as a guest. Fascinating show about paranormal topics. So I'll go ahead and start with Ren, and then we'll give you a spot from Sandy, and should be getting close to about time for our guest tonight to call in. So here's Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Take it, Daniel.
I am normal enough for you, Ren.
Nice.
I miss you being it. Imaginarium, but next year.
Well, yep, I think I'm weird enough for you, Ren, and yes, you better be there at the 10th anniversary. Or we're just gonna come up there and get you and bring you back ourselves. Oh man, too funny. But that was a great show last week. Yeah, if you haven't seen that in the archive, that was fantastic. Thank you, Ren. And now we're going to give you a little bit about Sandy Lender, the genre blender.
Are you looking for an inexpensive vacation plan? There's a lovely bed and breakfast that author Sandy Lender can recommend with her Fairy Holiday series of paranormal romances. Of course, the Rose Chateau is owned by a reluctant vampire. You might prefer a staycay in mid-Missouri with Dr. Noble Galen. Of course, he might be going insane. So Sandy could whisk you away to the fantasy realms of Onveld or Frumshaft or to outer space where there be dragons of all shapes and sizes. What I'm saying is you have options for all manner of cool and clever creatures in the Girl Power Stories by the author Sandy Lender. Take a minute to check out her offerings to see what inexpensive vacation plan you can schedule tonight. There's always a new adventure being announced on Sandy Lender's Amazon page.
Thank you, Sandy. That was awesome, and yeah, great writer. Go check it out. And I have to say, Daniel, we're going to have to get a report from Sandy because she, as you know, if you follow the show, Sandy is a big Duran Duran fan, and she is actually flying out to see them in concert in August this month. So we're going to have to get a full concert report from Sandy when she checks out the Duran Duran concert. You know, and I guess they, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, too, so that's just awesome. So. We'll probably have a lot of volunteers in the chat room to go with Sandy on that adventure. So I can see just checking in there looking at yeah, because Diana says that Sandy can whisk her away. Ha, ha, ha. So, yeah. Oh, Sandy's awesome. There you go. There you go, our two fine individuals that brought you tonight's show. And so, yes, Daniel, yeah, lots of options. That's what Beck says
yes,
in the chat room here. But, yeah, I'm happy for Sandy. She needs to get out and have some fun. Yeah, so that's good. That's good. Yeah, because she's been a little bit under the weather lately, so that's good that she's getting back to full Sandy again. But, all right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to be coming up here on the phone call here from tonight's guest in just a moment. We don't have a whole lot to, as far as news to pass along as far as from our front, other than, probably late next week. Have your eyes out because we'll have some of the first info about next year's Imaginarium, the 10th anniversary edition. And then as far as me personally, just might as well give you the update. I've been on a pretty good 10-day run. And got about 21.7K more written on that new Hellscapes novel, Days of Darkness, and bringing my manuscript total up to about 58.2K, which is nearing the finish line. It's going to be about a 65K novel. So there's a little writing update from yours truly. But, yeah, that's going pretty well. And good rhythm.
I didn't know that you can write a novel that short.
I
didn't know that you could write a novel that short.
I've got them in all size novels. I've got some at over 250K. I've got some at about 175K. I've got some at 100K. And then, well, this actually, as far as a novel, will be probably my shortest one, about 65K. But yeah, they all count. So
it works. You've got a lot of book, of door stops that you write, but
yeah, we got a few of those. Yep. And I've got some in the pipeline, just waiting to get edited. So yeah, I need to get back the edits on the new novella with the new character that's set in the Raiden Ragnar world. Different setting, different character. I will be talking about that very shortly. But I did get the edits back on that. So that is through the editing pass, and so that's getting very close to polished and ready to lay out for the release, and I'm pretty excited about that. Not too much longer. I'll be coming down right down the pike, and I'll be giving some more info on that in about a week. And yep, it'll be awesome. So what about
you,
Daniel?
You were asking about the dates of the Boutique Festival. I will be going up on the 11th, but the festival is on the 12th and 13th, which is the Friday night and Saturday. But I'll be leaving here the morning of the 11th to go up there because it's a five-hour drive, and I just don't want to drive 5 hours into a motel and have to be at the festival.
Yeah, I've done that, and that was exhausting. And yeah, I've made it a vow that whenever possible to avoid ever doing that again. That is exhausting when you have to roll in and do an event immediately. Yeah, that can be pretty tough on you. So, oh, man. But we do have our guest on deck, and this is going to be exciting. This is one of my favorite people in the book world. And tonight's guest is a USA Today best-selling author in the historical romance genre. And she has won a lot of awards, and I will read you a few of them. She's winner of the 2019 Romance Through the Ages Award for Georgian Regency Romance. She's also a winner in 2020 and 2021 of the Roan Award, also the winner of the 2021 Raven Award, and a 2021 Imagine Award for Best Romance Novel. And those of you who went to Imaginarium got to see her in person, and she is back on the show again. And so it's my honor and pleasure to bring aboard the one, the only, Chazity Bolin. Your mic is on, Chazity, and I hope that was good enough of an intro for you.
It was such a good intro. I'm not sure it's about me.
Good to hear
you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Doing good. Yeah, excited to talk to you tonight. And Holly will be joining us in progress. She got a little behind today.
I understand that.
Stephen does hire out for doing intros at different events and stuff like that too. So,
To talk me up at a couple more this year.
Fantastic. Well, that'll keep me busy and not be too much of a recluse. Then that'll help me then.
So, do you want me to dive in and talk about this project?
Well, absolutely, and yes, I am. This is very personal to me as well because. As everybody knows, there's been massive flooding taking place, and it's ongoing here in the state of Kentucky. A lot of people displaced. We've had, unfortunately, a lot of deaths. And, if you've been following the national news, it's, for those of us like myself and Holly that live in Kentucky, of course, Daniel's just across the border in Tennessee, it's something that really impacts all of us. And so, yes, tonight, you have a very, very important and serious project, and I hope those of you listening listen carefully, because I want to encourage all of you to get involved in some way, volunteer, support it in some way. But yes, I will let you introduce the whole thing, and go right into it.
So I have partnered with two other romance authors, Laramie Briscoe, who is also USA Today bestselling author, Glenna Maynard, who I think is the USA Today bestselling author as well. They are both contemporary romance authors. They are both from the state of Kentucky, and we have known each other for a long time, and we were just discussing, what we could do to be impactful and to provide some kind of support and some kind of immediate aid to the people of Eastern Kentucky that have lost so much. So we have put together and are actively right now putting together an anthology that all of the proceeds will go to Kentucky Flood Relief, and it's called Backing the Bluegrass. Now, what this will consist of is short stories, novelettes, like extended epilogues from some other romance authors. I'm going to do one that is a series of mine that's set here in the state of Kentucky that's called Bourbon and Blood. Laramie Briscoe is going to go back to her Heaven Hill series, which is also a Kentucky-based series. Pretty much everything that we're asking people to write and contribute is going to be set here in the state of Kentucky, and that will kind of showcase what Kentucky is really all about. We're hoping to get at least 25 to 30 authors involved in this. Right now, we have, I think, 15. And literally, this just started yesterday. So yeah. The support so far has been amazing. We're hoping to have this out by the end of the month. But as soon as we can get cover art created, we're going to have this up for pre-order and for sale through BookFunnel, through a PayHip store on BookFunnel, so that way we can start generating income immediately versus waiting for that 60-day period with Amazon for them to pay us out. We can generate some money now and continue to generate income down the road that can then be continually donated to this charity. So is that rambling enough?
No, it's great. I'm listening to every detail. I just put the forum link that you sent me in the chat room, and I will be putting that on our channels. So watch the Star Chamber Show Twitter and Facebook feeds, as well as anything with Seven Star Press and myself, because I will put it out on all those channels. But yes, there's a form to sign up. As I understand it, you mentioned cover art. You were looking for, I think, in the post that I saw yesterday when I was like, oh, geez. And that's why I cleared the deck tonight to make sure you got on tonight, because I know you're casting a net out to get the best people possible to volunteer to help you. But you're looking for editing help and cover art help and all those areas too, not just writers. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're looking for bloggers, authors, editors, cover artists, because it isn't just the cover. You know, we also need people to make teasers and graphics for promotion and different things like that. So there are so many ways that people can pitch in and help with this. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be an author. If you just want to share the link to help us reach other authors, or if you want to share the purchase link once we get one uploaded, you know, anything that people can do to really push this out there and get everybody to be aware of it is hugely beneficial.
Yeah, it's coming together quick. Yeah, and Dana, go ahead. Question.
Do you do any social media on it yet, or have you?
Right now, the social media calls that we have done have all just been asking for contributors to the project. But yes, we have posted it in multiple author groups. I've had it all over Facebook, in multiple groups. We've had it on, I think, Twitter and probably Instagram as well. We may try to put something on TikTok. I haven't done anything with that yet. But a lot of
when
the authors
ready,
who are...
When you get ready to do the TikTok, holler at me.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. Thank you.
Because, you know, there's different things that you can do on TikTok on getting things noticed that you can't do on any of the rest of the platforms, because TikTok is that newer kid on the block that everybody wants to know. So,
yeah.
But I haven't done a lot on TikTok yet, but I'm getting ready. I just got in a new phone, and as soon as I get my new phone set up, I'll be doing a lot on TikTok.
Some of the authors that have signed up for this already have a very active TikTok presence. I am not one of them. I have a toddler, so I'm never camera ready in my regular day-to-day life. It just doesn't
happen. That's a full-time gig.
It really is.
The more natural you are, the better.
Yeah, I agree with Daniel. Yeah, that's true.
But
you'll see Holly back. I will tell you, Chazity, you'll see Holly back like Daniel, she just got her phone back, and this is kind of just a funny little anecdote, but she managed to get her phone run over by a semi-truck in Indiana. She'll have to tell you the full story, but she got her phone run over by a truck.
Yeah, I don't even know how that happens. Okay.
Oh, and believe it or not, the phone, except for the screen, actually still tries to work. It's amazing, but she just got her new one today, so she'll be back on TikTok.
I killed the phone by dropping it in a Dairy Queen blizzard, so I'm not even going to say anything to anybody.
But she's also good on TikTok.
And I'll give you some links and everything. Since you're on Facebook, I'll give you some links when we talk about different. There's a group on TikTok that they do lessons about TikTok.
Yeah, and there are several author groups on Facebook that I'm in that are, you know, about how to use TikTok to build your brand and how to to reach new readers and stuff on TikTok. One of the things that I have noticed in doing this for as long as I have is that if you actually want to write the books, you have to decide what works for you in social media and just focus on that. Because if you try to do everything, you wind up not being able to do anything too well.
Well, you just like Facebook, I'll do Instagram, LinkedIn, and I'll be doing TikTok and YouTube. So, that'll be my four platforms that I'll be working with, you know, to build.
And I do primarily Facebook, some Instagram, and Goodreads. And that's been pretty much where that has worked for me thus far.
Nice.
But I mean, it's always changing. It's always evolving. And you have to be prepared. You have to at least, whether you actively seek to use TikTok or not, you have to at least familiarize yourself with it to some degree, because that's where everybody else is, you know?
Right.
So you don't get to live in a little bubble.
That's true. It's tough to keep up with all of it. But with your project, is it going to be in print and ebook or ebook only, or what's the plan for the formats?
We are definitely going to do ebook. We know that. We will try to do print, and I don't think that we should have any trouble doing that. If we stick to about 30, 35 authors, however many we can get, really, and we keep the story super short, I think we can definitely make that a print book. And if we have to, we can always split that into two volumes if necessary. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to, you know, and if we can auction off signed copies as a way to continue generating for this charity, because, I mean, this is going to be something that takes years to rebuild from. This is not going to be a quick fix. This is going to be something that takes a long, long time for Kentucky to come back from.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And was the flood up there sort of like the one we had in Nashville?
Oh, this is unprecedented in a lot of ways.
Yeah. The places that flooded are places that have never flooded before in recorded history since people have lived there. I mean, it's a place where, like, you might get the roads covered, but the houses are usually fine. And now, for the first time ever, the houses are not just flooded. They're completely submerged. Like, the entire structure is underwater.
So it's
unlike anything I've ever seen.
The little bit of coverage that I've seen down here on it, which I hate to say, you know, Tennessee being right here on the border of Kentucky, that we don't get more coverage on something like that than what I've seen about it.
You know, I don't think it's just Tennessee. I don't think it's being covered really by anyone.
Well, it's like when Nashville flooded. Everybody took it as like, you know, I was working for a company and my manager was in Florida. He said, goes, I told him what had happened. He goes, well, you staying dry? Like no big deal.
Yeah, like it's a joke. I don't think people understand how devastating it is. And I don't think that they understand the severity of it. You know, that we're talking about entire families that have been that have been killed. We're talking about entire communities that have been literally wiped off the map by this. This isn't just that what people own is wet. It's that what people own has literally been washed away. Houses have been taken right off the foundation and gone downstream. People have lost all their clothing, all their household items, their houses, their vehicles. Some of them have lost all of that and lost family members at the same time. So
what is the total right now up there?
The last time I saw, the last time I checked any of the news outlets, it stood at, I want to say it was 37 or 38.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too, around there.
But there are still hundreds of people missing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, especially in the rural areas, Yeah, everybody I know that I spoke with about it said that it was unprecedented is the word I heard used, you know, multiple times. Like they had never in their entire lifetime seen anything like it. It was, it's definitely one, the biggest that anybody's seen in memory. So, it's a big one.
It's unbelievable.
It's already
I mean, like if you, can you see the pictures of it.
To begin with. I mean, we've got a lot of impoverished areas in that region to begin with. So it's already not an easy life for a lot of folks to begin with. Now this, so yeah, I'm really glad to hear that you're doing this, and I also love the fact you're getting a structure together for a bigger picture kind of thing, future projects, future things that you can put under this model. That's awesome, and definitely hopefully. Like we can do some stuff for you at our end through the convention and everything else to raise awareness and get the word out there. But
about the romance community, it's that they know how to come together and how to make something happen and make it happen quickly when it's needed. We have done these kind of anthologies to benefit the people in Western Kentucky when there were tornadoes. People have done anthologies like this to benefit people in Ukraine. I mean, there are a lot of these charity anthologies out there, and this is something that, you know, it's been proven to work in the past. It's been proven to be very effective to fundraise for worthy causes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, it's good to see the writing community come together like this to help. I mean,
What is your time frame like personally? How many hours a day do you have to do something like this?
Whatever hours my kids in daycare, and then whatever hours I can manage to stay awake after he's in bed. So. Not just writing, but like the business side of writing, like managing social media, doing ads, doing graphics and book covers and all of that. I probably usually work about 10 hours a day.
Okay. The reason I was asking is I wish I had written it down when I was on one of my other Zoom meetings and guy brought up something and I didn't write it down right then, and I will get in touch with them and find out what it is, but or what the name of the app is or whatever, but it's connecting people that need to be interviewed, either an interviewee or interviewer. They connect them and everything together, and with what you're doing, you need to be doing interviews with as many people as you can to get that going.
And not just me, but like also the other people who are involved. Like it may have started with the three of us, but we definitely want it to be a community effort for all the people that are involved in this project to feel like they can promote it just as well as we can.
Right.
I was going to say,
everybody has their own following and their own readership. And that's really what we're trying to do, is have everybody that is a part of this reach out to their own followers and their own readers so that we're bringing, the entire community together.
Well, I'm looking at the bigger picture on that. If you're able to do interviews across the country and across different platforms. Then, you know, and they're all on, say, Zoom meetings or telephones or whatever. You get the word out to so many more people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then, you got 30 authors spreading out there to do interviews. Yeah, you could probably raise the signal pretty quick. Yeah, they get all get out there. That sounds like a
absolutely
plan.
Yeah, and that's really why we need, you know, we need cover artists, we need all these different people so that we can have the materials that we need to have in order to promote this effectively.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and right. I caught in there. Yeah, you're looking for people to make ad materials and all, like graphics, and yeah, so people that are wizards in graphic design, I'm sure can volunteer their talents to help do promo images for you, and a lot of ways people can get involved and to be ambassadors. And that, you mentioned book bloggers certainly can do their part in that community. And in the chat room, Beck mentioned Goodreads, so people that are savvy there get on there and spread the word in those forums.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's lots of ways to amplify here. But
if anyone wants to reach out to me on social media, I mean, like, you can link my Facebook page and all of your information and everything in there. And if anybody has any questions or if anybody wants to volunteer any services or just talk to me about this project, I'm happy to talk to anyone about it anytime.
Right. Yeah, because it's coming together quick. You said you expect to actually have the first, ebook edition out at the end of the month, possibly.
Yeah.
So we're rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't wait.
I was wrong. We actually have 19 authors already.
19. All right. So there's still some slots, writers.
Yeah, there are open slots. So get in touch with me. Fill out the Google form or talk to me on social media. We are looking for people to actively participate in this.
And
Steven, there you go. You can do your romance novel now.
You got it. But is this going to be the long-term name of the project, Backing the Bluegrass? Is that going to be kind of like the umbrella for what you're going to be doing?
That is going to be the title of the anthology. We will put together a Facebook page where all the people can come together. We have a small group for authors right now, but we want to have a place for, you know, readers to reach out and talk to one another and also get in touch with the authors that they want to speak to that are part of this project.
Absolutely. And, if any publicists are out there listening, definitely that wouldn't hurt. Get a few publicists involved. The more the merrier. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a real community-driven project is what I'm hearing.
Yes. And again, I want to stress that it's myself, Chastity Boland. It's also Laramie Briscoe and Glenna Maynard. We are all Kentucky mm-hmm. authors. We're all very proud of where we are from and where we live, and we want to make sure that everyone in Kentucky is well represented by this project. There's already been, and I'm sure that you've seen the cartoon that shall not be named, there's a lot of already negative press about people living in Kentucky, and particularly the people who have been affected by this, they were just unfortunately represented, and that is not what this is going to be about. This is going to be about showing what Kentucky really is Kentuckians really are.
Yeah, it's a wonderful state, and believe me, my whole life I've had to deal with some of the ignorant stuff that you hear from outside the state about Kentucky. I could give you a lot of stories, but it's one thing a lot of people don't realize is that it's a very rich literary state. I mean, our literary tradition here is very strong, and we put forth a lot of writers in all genres that And I've really made
you
a mark
cannot
out there.
Throw a rock in the state of Kentucky without hitting a best-selling author these days. They're everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thick on the ground.
And as far as the writers go, that is one question I would probably some people are wondering. With the writers, so for your last 11 slots, are those limited to Kentucky writers, or is it a broad net? I mean, do you allow people?
They
from
are
all over?
Not limited to Kentucky authors, but we are asking that anyone who writes something for this book, that it be set in the state of Kentucky, or that it feature something that is specifically related to Kentucky, like bourbon specifically is what we were looking at, but it can also be the horse industry. It can be lots of things, but we want it to really showcase the state of Kentucky and what's so amazing about it.
That's awesome. I can feature bourbon. Don't worry.
What about the what about the organization of romance writers? Have you contacted any of them?
We have not. There's not a whole lot of Kentucky organizations. Now, the national organizations, they do a lot of stuff in terms of, like, legal representation, but they don't do anything as far as marketing or supporting charitable efforts like this. But it's more like they will publishing companies that have unfair practices or vendors that sometimes have unfair practices. So they're more about representing the rights of authors versus representing communities in this way. So we've not really reached out to anyone like that.
I was talking about the people that are members. If you can get a message out to them, you know, that they can share to everybody else in their, you know, like whoever the, you know,
that's the thing is that even though the romance world in terms of the population is large, it really functions like a very small community. So we all talk to each other and we're all in the same Facebook groups and we're all sharing this information in the same group. So even if we took it to that organization, I don't know that they would disseminate the information to people any faster than we disseminate it to one another.
Okay.
Just by the virtue of how social media works.
And I do have a question from the chat room.
I'm just trying to think of different ways we can get the message out there. And, you know, it may be things that you've already thought about, and if so, you can just tell me to shut the hell up. But
no, I mean, like I said, we are between the three of us, because we all write in slightly different subgenres of romance. I've hit the historical romance community up pretty hard because that's where most of my contacts are. Laramie Briscoe writes primarily contemporary romance. And so she's reached out to a lot of people in that particular market. Glenna Maynard writes a lot of dark romance and biker romance, and so she's reached out in that way. So we're really hitting all the different subgenres of what romance is right now, and pulling people from all these different areas. So that's kind of exciting.
You've got the area done. You just need to get to the readers and, you know, people with the money now.
Yeah. And, you know, and we all have a pretty extensive following on Amazon, on BookBub, on Goodreads, on different social media platforms. So, and then we all have newsletters that we utilize fairly effectively. So I think really and truly right now, it's just getting the professional part of it in place, getting all the other authors that we need, because 30 is a ballpark number. It could be more than that. I mean, you know, the sky is the limit as far as I'm concerned. And the more authors you have, the more readers you bring to the table. And the more money you raise for this cause.
I haven't used Goodreads in a long time. Will Goodreads put it out to all the other groups that aren't romance?
I mean, like, it'll be visible on Goodreads. My hope is that, you know, once we get this going, that other people are going to discover it. I mean, you don't have to be a romance reader to purchase this book, especially since it's going for such a great cause.
Can you get Goodreads to support the cause?
I don't think you can get Goodreads to do anything because there's not even really a way to reach any Goodreads. It's not like there are people there that you can ask for help. It's more about every author has their own Goodreads page, which features all of their books. And as long as every author adds this book to their page that is involved in the project, then that dramatically increases the visibility overall.
Right.
And the same way with BookBub, the same way with Amazon. Because if we all add it on Amazon, then Amazon will generate those automatic emails to all of our followers that says, hey, so-and-so has a new book out. Do you want to pre-order it?
Right.
So, yeah. let's make their data mining work for us.
If you've got 30 authors and they're doing it for every one of them, okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean,
that multiplies.
Like I said,
you know,
right now, we need the authors. We need people who have a sizable following to reach out and involve themselves in this project.
Now, on the site for the project, I was just thinking, are you going to have a mechanism for, say, somebody, you know, really likes what you're doing and they buy the ebook and they just want to, you know, hey, I want to send you another, you know, 20 or 15 bucks or something to contribute to the effort here. Are you going to have some, like, donation buttons included?
We might. That's something that's like a technical piece of it that I'm not sure how we're going to approach all that yet. Because, I mean, literally, again, we just started this at like noon yesterday.
so it's all happening
on the fly, but it's coming together pretty fast.
Well, it sounded like it was quick, so I was like, I've got to get you on the show.
You said you started this noon yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I don't mean like started. I mean we had the idea at noon yesterday. So, yeah, we've been busy.
With you and your two co-instigators, though, the three of you get something going. Though, that's all I need to know. I know it's going to be something that's going to be executed well. So not too worried about that.
We're trying really hard.
Yeah.
So, again, if you write romance and you want to involve yourself in this project, please just reach out to us, any one of us. You can fill out the Google interest form, and one of us will be in touch with you. But we're definitely looking for more people to involve themselves in this project. And, again, the more people we get, the more money we raise. So just reach out.
Would you be free Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central Time?
Possibly.
Okay.
I can probably make that happen.
I want you on a Zoom meeting with corporate executives from around the world.
It's one of Daniel's famous Zoom meetings. Yeah, this will actually be good, Chastity. Inspired tonight. Daniel's inspired tonight. This is good. But, yeah.
Send me the information, and I will be there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Stephen, send me how to get in touch with her.
I will.
Stephen's got my email. He's got, I think, don't you even have my phone number?
I just made an email.
Yes. Oh, I have your contacts. Yeah, absolutely. I'll get them.
So, Stephen has all the information about how to get in touch with me.
Yeah, just send me her email and I'll send over that information to her, and you'll have to go on and
that's gonna be good.
For it.
Yeah, that'll be a good group for her. Yeah.
It'll be, you know, something that you'll get break out into small groups and everything. You'll be able to tell some of those people what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah,
good,
absolutely.
Good folks, too. Yeah, that'd be
any
neat.
Kind
yeah,
of support that we can get either
the corporate
artistically or financially, we will take all the support we can get.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm thinking that, as you go forward, you know, there's a lot of possibilities because you've already mentioned, I mean, you mentioned bourbon, but, you know, we have a lot of distilleries here. We've got, a lot of, near to heart Kentucky-based corporations. I bet you, you know, as time goes on, you can probably recruit some of those to help with some marketing and promotion awareness kind of stuff.
That would be amazing. Even if it was just we got placement of the book in gift shops.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You could get it into Twin Spires. You could get it into, Keelan, especially if you have any horse stories in there. Things like that into the distillery,
if we could get like prime placement in Joseph Beth once we have the physical book to sell, that would be amazing.
Uh-huh. I was going to mention that, and there's actually a fair number of places that are almost like are based in like Kentucky Proud kind of initiatives where they have like Kentucky products and. Like Joseph Beth has, there's several like that. So I would think that that'd be a great place for it, and especially if it's a long term project with future installments and additions. That would be cool. But it sounds like a really really cool project. So, but I did get a question in the chat room. I want to get in here from Diana Bazoric, and she is an amazing crochet artist who just did a fabulous Eddie Munson crochet doll from Stranger Things.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, she's so good. But she is not a she doesn't know what service she could offer, but she would like to get involved. Now, what do you have to say to those people that aren't necessarily cover artist, book person, this or that, somebody that's coming a little bit from the outside.
Follow any of us on social media so that when you see posts about this particular project or this particular book, that you can then share that post so that any of your friends on social media will see it and really just talk up what an amazing cause it is. I mean, honestly, that is the best way, just extending our reach to people who may not know who we are.
Yeah, because I think you're going to get a lot of extra support there from people, that are not necessarily involved in the book world. A lot of people that will jump in to, help you raise awareness. And and so you anticipate this first release. I have, estimated at the moment about 30 authors or so, and out by the end of August, just to summarize. And that's the basic plan right now.
Yes.
Okay.
I am 1,500 words into my 2,000-word project for this book.
Nice.
So I will probably finish that up tonight before I go to bed.
All right. And then once, like I said, down the road, you possibly can get some more, titles going, especially if you get a big response.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely be open to doing, multiple volumes of this on down the road if this proves to be successful enough to warrant that and if there is continued need.
Yeah. Diana actually said she wanted she can make some special Kentucky blankets and donate the proceeds to your organization. So she wanted me to pass that on to you.
And it may be that at some point we do like an online auction of signed copies, and we can do baskets with other Kentucky items that have been donated. I mean, and I don't want to commit to any of that yet. We don't know how far this is going to go. But, I mean, just because you're not an author or a cover artist or an editor doesn't mean that you don't have a skill that you can contribute to this. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, this is tonight is a call to arms, and it's at the ground floor.
Exactly.
Literally, a day into the project, and you're putting out a call for, you know, all types of talent and participation. So that's the general theme that we're going for.
Yes.
And
just
so,
creating
awareness
and looking for creative thinkers who can find a way to help make this work.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be, I have a hunch it'll be very, very, you'll be very successful in the outreach for you know, volunteers and participants. I don't anticipate you having any trouble in that department. It'll be just a matter of, you know, how much awareness you can raise, and that sky's the limit there. So
yeah,
that's good. That's good. That's good. And I wanted to make sure, we've covered this extensively. I mean, I am going to get the link out there. Is there anything more on this topic you want to say? Because I do want to give you a little time, because we haven't talked to you in forever. I do want to give you a little time just to catch up with you on your stuff. But I want to make sure that, you know, we don't leave any loose ends on the project. So is there anything that we haven't touched on that you wanted to, you know, go over?
No, I think that we pretty much covered, you know, because, again, like I said, we're just in the opening phase of this. So there's a lot yet that's just not known. So until we have hard and fast answers, I don't want to give people too much information.
Right. Yeah, it's very early, and we emphasize very early, in the process. So, yeah, certainly understand that, and we know you can't be, you know, give you know, definitives at this point. But it does sound like a great system, or for lack of a better word, for doing, you know, a lot more down the line. I think it's going to be a good thing. I think it's a good thing to get going. So congrats on doing that. I know it's an awful, you know, situation to be having to you know, respond to, definitely it's wonderful that you're able to pull this together, you know, within one day. Ball is rolling. That's good.
We tend to stay very busy in the romance world.
Yes, you all do. It's an amazing group, which brings me to, some folks that listen to us, obviously, we're at Imaginarium, you know, so they probably are familiar with you. I am, you know, Daniel knows about your work, and, of course, Holly does. But for those of you out there listening who may not know Chazity's work, would you talk a little bit about your work in particular and the subgenre that you specialize in?
So I write primarily Regency romance. I describe it as basically it's Jane Austen, but with sex. So, that's really what it is. If you watch Bridgerton on Netflix, you would love my books. That's kind of where we're at. And I have multiple series. I have one series that is complete, which is the Lost Lord series with Dragonblade Publishing, which is my publisher. I have another series, The Hellion Club, which is an ongoing series. It was supposed to be a 7-book series. The 6th book is going to drop on August 25th of this month. I have to write the 7th book still. And then the series has been extended for a total of 14 books.
Nice.
So it's going to be going on for some time. And then I also do write paranormal Regency and paranormal Victorian romance. So, and those are published indie because, you know, that's more of a niche market. But it's kind of my first love. I loved all those gothic romances when I was younger. So that's sort of where my, when I need a break from writing just your regular romances, I go into that paranormal world, and it's my happy place, which maybe is a little sad, but so yeah, I it's to say that if you like historical romance, there's something in my catalog for everyone.
Yeah, it's a very good catalog. Congrats on yet a series double in size, literally. Went from seven book plan to 14. That's awesome. I didn't realize that. Yeah, you had one double like that. So, congratulations.
It's a little daunting, but I think it's going to be amazing. It's going to span generations. It's going to leap from the Regency world into the Victorian world with the second generation of these characters. So. That's going to be really interesting for me to get to see them grow up in the course of these books.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool. And, well, we came out of, you know, the bulk of the COVID mess. I know it's not totally gone, but things are opening up a little bit more, and, you know, events and whatnot. How are things going with you as far as, you know, events and book signings and stuff like that? Are you starting to get out and do some more shows or
yeah,
your time's a little bit limited, but with the toddler, but are you able
it,
to get
it
out
is.
A bit
I have
now?
Amazing in-laws though, who will take him any weekend that we ask almost.
Nice.
I obviously came to Imaginarium, which was great fun as it always is. Then this past weekend, I did the Knockout Book Bash in Louisville, which was a hugely successful event put on by Jesse Lane and Madden. And then I have another big event coming up. I'll be doing the Historical Romance Retreat in San Diego at the end of September, going into the first week of October. And it's like a week-long costumed event. So that's going to be interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of neat stuff.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Cool. So you'll be Victorian or Regency dressed or what? Just trying to get a picture of the event going there.
I've still got to come up with some costumes. But, yeah, you can dress. You can come in medieval garb, in Regency, in Victorian. You can come dressed as a pirate or a flapper from the 1920s. It's really whatever you want to wear.
That's nice.
But, yeah, it's going to be it's primarily an event where authors are very accessible to readers, where they can sit down and have lunch with you. They can talk to you and really interact with you on a personal level. So that's always a good time and a good way to really engage with people. And you know, I mean, that's why we do all this. You know, the whole process of writing and putting a book out there is about building a relationship with someone, even if you never actually meet in person. And events like this are just the other side of that coin, where you do get to meet, and that relationship you create with that book now gets to transmit into the real world. So that's always a positive and good thing.
Yeah,
I want to see Stephen in that flapper outfit that you just told him he could come in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see him more
so
as a happening.
For my cosplay. Yeah. So well known for my cosplay, yes. that's awesome. But yeah, it sounds like you're getting out and doing some events now. That's good to hear. That's real good to hear. And how's the release? You said you're dropping one later this month. But how's the release pacing going? Because I know in the romance world, the pace is a lot quicker in terms of volume and frequency than some of the other, you know, genres of writing. How are you going? How's your going?
I want to say that including like collections that I've done, like special anthologies for my publisher and everything, I want to say that when this book drops in August, it'll be my seventh or eighth release for the year.
Nice. See, folks, so, like I was saying, yes. Yeah, because I'll be talking to maybe a fantasy author or somebody else, and I'll have a couple books coming out this year, maybe two or three. There you go, seventh, please. Nice.
It's been... Yeah. And that's I had a stroke in the middle of all that after having COVID. So, and I'm still putting out books. So if I can do it, anybody can.
Yeah.
That's my.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but I'm glad you recovered from that.
You had a stroke.
Yeah, I was going to double. I did. I had I developed a blood clot after having COVID, and it caused me to have a stroke. It was just this weird, random thing that, so PSA, if you get COVID, start taking aspirin.
Daniel's talked about it publicly and put it in online, books and stuff, but he also endured a stroke and came. That's actually what helped him get to his fiction writing, was the process of coming back from that. So I know that he can relate to the struggle there.
Yeah,
it's a terrifying experience to go through.
It affect anything of you or?
If it had any lasting deficits for me, they're so minor at this point that they're really just more of an annoyance than anything else. I had to do PT and OT for a while because I'd lost some of my dexterity and some of the sensation in my right hand, but that's all returned now. But it didn't affect anything cognitively as far as my speech or my writing. It was just that, again, I'm right-hand dominant, so losing some of the dexterity in my right hand definitely made typing something of a chore. And it's kind of messed with my spatial reasoning and my sense of direction a little bit. But again, those are things that I can compensate for in other ways.
Yeah. So you're one of the lucky ones in a way.
I'm very lucky, and every day I think of that and know how lucky I am. Because it could have gone another way entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But, I double-checked, and as of with projects that are already completed and that are on pre-order now and will be coming out in the next couple of months, I have 8 completed projects for the year.
Fantastic.
Far.
Yeah, you're very good, very good. That's awesome. I know you're always busy, so I don't worry about you when it comes to having stuff coming out, but that's a heck of a good pace. That's a great pace. And are those all, how do they break down? I'm just curious. Novels, novellas, or, some of them, possibly short stories and anthologies? What kind of mixes there and all that?
One, 2, 3, 4, 5 full-length novels and 3 novellas.
Very nice. Yeah. That's a heck of a good output. That's awesome. So how is the, I know because you are an ace when it comes to staying on top of the industry and the business side of things. What is your take on the current book market? And then specifically, what is your report on the romance market as of the moment? I'm curious to hear you talk about both overall and then genre.
Oh, I don't really – the romance market is so different from every other market that it's really hard to gauge how anything else is doing. But, for the romance market, I mean, I haven't really seen anything to indicate that it's slowing down or speeding up. I think it's just sort of continuing on as it always has. we're still living in a scary world where people want escapism, and there is no greater escape for most people than a romance novel. So I think that's definitely not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, it's definitely got its own thing, you know, the whole romance publishing world. Yeah, it's definitely got – it's a unique area of the book world for sure. But just me, and this could be anecdotal, but, you know, I – just in my sphere, I've noticed an uptick in print again, you know, in the past year or so. A little more of a turn back to the tangible, you know, as it is. And I don't know if, you know, you've seen that too, but it's kind of cool to see people liking to hold books again. not just I love e-books, but it's cool to see the physical book seem to make a little bit more of a comeback.
I think that people who read voraciously, they primarily read e-books. That's just, you know, for convenience, for a lot of reasons. I think that, and I mean, and this could be wrong, I don't know, but I feel like for a lot of people that physical books are more something that they collect in a lot of cases. Like, they want to have a bookshelf of their favorite author and they want those books signed, but they never touch them. They're like prized possessions. Because I'll have
people
buy the physical book for me to sign it, and then they'll read the e-book because they don't want to mess up the actual book.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that's just, I don't know. I don't know if other genres break down that way or if that's just a romance thing.
No, I confess that I've actually read e-books and loved the author and then went ahead and bought, you know, like the hardcovers just to have them, even though I already read the book on ebook, and I just wanted to collect the hard copy, hardback. It sounds just like that. So I do know that mentality, and but also at the same token, I mean, I do like to kick back with a physical book. I have to admit, I read both.
Like, it all depends. Like, if I'm going on a vacation, I want a physical book to read. But, like, if I'm stuck in a doctor's office waiting, I want that book on my phone to read it, you know? So it's a convenience factor, I guess.
Right, yeah. No,
so
I get that.
Do you print your books where they're water and wine proof, or what?
I do not. I wish I knew a way to do that. Because that would be amazing. Because I'm pretty sure that I know a lot of women like nothing better than to kick back in the bath with a good book and a glass of wine. I'm one of them.
Holly would
be
another.
Awesome.
Yeah, Holly's in that club too.
it's the best, most relaxing time you'll ever have in your life.
Well, it's the only time you get away from the kids and all that stuff, too.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, it's a nice little oasis there. Now with the book that's dropping later this month, want to give us a little more about that particular book and also how folks can pre-order it? Because, like I said, I want to give you a chance to promote the latest thing as far as your release schedule.
As of right now, I actually had a book release, an independent book release, on June 30th, or July 30th, rather. That was the launch of a new independent series of mine called The Wild Wallflowers, and the name of the book is One Wild Night. It is available on Amazon, on Apple, on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Google Play. It has the most beautiful cover. It is absolutely stunning, and if you just want to see the pretty artwork, go and look at it. So that's something that just came out, and the book that is dropping at the end of the month on August 25th is the sixth book in my Hellion Club series. It's called The Duke's Magnificent Obsession. every book in that series has a title that is a takeoff on like an old Hollywood, something from the golden era of Hollywood. But like we had Sleepless in Southampton, we had A Rogue to Remember. So that's kind of where all that came from. And they are, again, Regency romance, but there's always in my books an element of suspense or intrigue. So, yeah, just check it out. I think I have rarely ever had a person read one of my books that they didn't want to go on and read the rest of them. So
check it out.
Give it a shot.
Yes. And now as far as the series goes, is it the kind of thing where somebody can hit stride and just kind of come into book six and then go back and, you know, read the others or the, you know, how they've written?
You absolutely you don't have to read them in order. There are continuing characters that are in all of the books, but those characters don't get their own story until book seven. So even if you come in on the end of book six, you're still going to be okay. But yeah, you can read book two and then go back and read book one and it's fine. They're not dependent on each other in that way.
Right.
The characters are connected. You may see one from one book in another book, but it's not going to throw you off too badly if you read things out of order.
Right. So, yeah, you can just go ahead and pick up the new release and then, you know, at your leisure, go back and catch the others. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And I will tell you, if you want to purchase the book, now is the time. Go ahead and pre-order it. Again, it's called The Duke's Magnificent Obsession. It's available on Amazon. My publishing house, which is Dragonblade Publishing, they always make all of their pre-order titles 99 cents. So if you want to, you can purchase that book now for 99 cents. The day that it goes live, it'll drop on your Kindle. And then usually for about a week after launch, they stay at a super low sale price, and then they go up to regular price. So you definitely want to hop on that bargain while you have a chance.
No kidding.
What
is
your book price for e-book right now?
Repeat that,
Daniel. Sorry, what?
I said, what is your regular price for e-books right now?
It varies by series. Most of mine are between $2.99 and $4.99. Actually, I don't have anything above $4.99 unless it's like a box set.
Okay.
Yeah, seems to be a solid range, you know, for indie titles, for independent titles.
So I try to keep everything lower than what the traditional publishing houses do, which, I mean, their ebooks and their print books are the same price, which seems a little weird to me because clearly the production cost for an ebook is not anywhere near what the production cost for a print book is. So I don't know how they justify that. But, my ebooks are all between $2.99 and $4.99.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, but some of the fantasy titles I've seen. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say quickly, I've seen fantasy titles.
Oh, yeah, they're outrageously expensive. I've seen some that are like $9.99 and $12.99 even for single titles, and I'm just like, I couldn't pay that. I would just get that from the library. That's
Well, it's like me and Stephen were talking on one of the shows that, you know, this was about a year or so ago, that a lot of e-books are actually more expensive than the hard book.
Yeah, I've seen it. Uh-huh.
And it takes nothing for the ebook.
No, there's nothing that you're doing to produce the ebook that you don't have to do to produce the print book. So, I mean, like, if you want to make them the same price, by all means, go ahead. That's your prerogative, but you don't have to. And then, but to make the ebook more expensive than the print book when I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, it's a little odd, but that's true. I see it all the time with fantasy titles where, yeah, the soft cover will actually be less than the ebook price. That's when I go ahead and buy the hard copy, because I'd rather have a tangible version and save money. That's usually what happens, but that is too funny. But, yeah, that sounds like a good price range for sure. And, yeah, that is awesome. I did not realize that your publisher actually has almost like a sale price for the pre-orders.
They do.
Some other areas.
I mean, like, it's a great marketing strategy. It's a great way so that when, you know, all those pre-orders go out on the day that your book launches, then it looks like, you know, you've had all these sales and it drives up your visibility at Amazon. So it works to our benefit.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best way to make more money is to sell more books, and the best way to sell more books is to sell them cheaply so that you can move a high volume.
Right. Now, as far as Amazon, you mentioned that. Are your ebooks available on other platforms, or are you doing some Kindle Unlimited stuff currently?
All of my independent books are available wide on every platform. All of my books with Dragonblade Publishing, which is the Lost Lord series and the Hellion Club series, those are all exclusive to Amazon are in Kindle Unlimited. So you can find some of my books no matter where you buy them. So
yeah, so I was curious as what platforms you were emphasizing right now. Yeah, that's an interesting area.
It's,
now
it's
about
pretty much even split.
How's audiobooks with your titles?
I have a good number of my independent titles in audiobooks. We are getting my Dragonblade titles are going up in audio. Just it's a slower production schedule because obviously there's more than just me involved. There are other authors that they have to do ebooks for too, or audiobooks for too. So you know, you kind of have to wait your turn when you're working with a publisher.
Right.
Excuse me. But yeah, most of the Dark Regency series is in audio. We're working now on the Dunn Family series, which is novella length to short novel length. They range from 30,000 words on the short end to like 60,000 words on the high end. Novel is short.
Mm-hmm.
And they are almost all completely done in audio, and that's where my narration team is focusing right now. My Victorian Gothic collection, which is a three-book volume that is a little bit different because it follows the relationship between just one couple over the course of three books, which is kind of unusual in the romance world. That is in audio, and it's complete, and it is the most amazing audiobook because my narration team they're professional actors. They do all these amazing sound effects, and this is like a spooky, super gothic story set in a Welsh castle at the turn of the 19th going into 20th century. And,
very cool.
Like they just did these amazing sound effects. So the whole thing is so creepy and so spooky and so wonderful. And I cannot recommend it highly enough if you like audiobooks to get the Victorian Gothic collection.
Do you have a sample of that anywhere?
I do not specifically, like, because my website is currently under construction, but at any retailer where you get your audiobooks, they will have a sample for you to listen to. And the sample that we chose to feature on the retailers is an amazing sample that shows you exactly what that book is going to sound like.
Yeah.
It really gives you a good example of what the flavor of it is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know whether you had it on Amazon or something like that where they had the sample of it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, it's on Apple, it's on Barnes & Noble. You can get it directly through Audible. You can get it on Kobo. I mean, it's everywhere.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I'm curious about that audiobook because I love ensemble cast narration. That sounds cool.
you hit me up. I think I still have some promo codes for it. So remind me and I'll send you one.
All right. Thank you. You'll have to do that. But thank you. I love it. I love it. Yeah, that sounds perfect. And, yeah, I'm curious. But we're coming up on about 3.5 minutes left in the show. So want to give you a chance to be sure to tell folks how to connect with you as far as major platforms. You've mentioned BookBub and some others. But, yeah, tell folks how to find you and where to sign up with you.
So the easiest thing for me to do is to spell my name for you. It is C-H-A-S-I-T-Y, and my last name is Bowlin, B-O-W-L-I-N. And you can find me that way on Facebook, on Amazon, on BookBub, on Goodreads, and on Instagram. It's super easy. You can hit me up. My email is just my name. There's no punctuation. There's no spaces, no weird characters. It's just chastitybowlin@gmail.com. So you can also reach me via email. If you have any questions, if you want to ask me anything about my books, if you want to ask me anything about this charity anthology, whatever you need to know, please just feel free to reach out. Friend me on Facebook. I'm nowhere near the limit that Facebook has set, if that's even still a thing anymore. Do they still cap you at 5,000? Okay. So I'm far enough away from that if you want to send me a friend request, I'm not going to say no. So go ahead and friend me on Facebook, email me, whatever you need to do, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Very good. And, because I was wanting to make sure that we got a good update on you and your writing and your publishing schedule, which we got to do. I'm happy we got to fit that in, but definitely stoked about the new Backing the Bluegrass project. That is awesome, and hopefully you're going to get some new signups on the forum after tonight, and tomorrow we'll make sure we get that spread and the link to the forum spread everywhere. So, yeah, this is great. This is great. You got your days definitely full now. With all these projects.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little busy.
But thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm going to turn it over to you to give any final comments about Backing the Bluegrass that you'd like to give or your upcoming releases. I want to make sure we get all the Chastity news that we can. But I'll turn it over to you. But thank you so much for joining us tonight on short notice. And been great to have a conversation with you on all this. And wishing you the best, and we'll do everything we can to support it.
Well, thank you so much for having me and giving me this opportunity to kind of get this project out there. Again, it is Backing the Bluegrass. It's a charity anthology that will benefit the victims of the Eastern Kentucky flooding. All proceeds will go to the charity. Nothing is going to be kept. All services are being donated. This is truly a labor of love for all of us. We want to help as much as we can, and I hope that you all will share it on social media. If you see it, pick up a copy when the book is available. If you know of any great authors that you love, recommend to them that they involve themselves in this project. Same with cover artists or anyone else that can help us out. And thank you so much for listening and giving us a shot at helping a lot of people who really need it.
Anytime. And Daniel, go ahead and take us out, my friend.
Until we talk again next week, you reflect on what is being done here tonight on this wonderful young lady working on a charity because she has love and hope in her heart. What she's doing can bring peace to somebody else. And if you listen to how much she's gotten done in a little over 24 hours, how did you spend the last 24 hours of your day? Did you get the projects done that you wanted to get done? Or did you make excuses for them like we do on a regular basis? Until we talk again next week, I challenge you to spend each day getting your challenges done and your projects that you want to see to fruition a reality. This is Daniel Dark signing off.